You want a good time? You go to Disneyland, all right? Go to freaking Busch Gardens. Go to Korea. Go to my apartment. It's phenomenal. Go to Grand Canyon. Go to peyote at Joshua Tree. Go to Vietnam. Go to Burning Man. Go see Duran Duran. Go see Celine Dion in Vegas. Here's a new birth plan. Deliver the baby safely.
Well, here's something we're going to deliver to you very safely into the confines of your iPod and your ear holes. Episode 32 of the Air Raid Podcast. Welcome, my friends. This is the show where we drop bombs of awesome into your ear holes. I am your host, Aaron Roden, and I'm joined today by an old friend of mine named Andrew Moore. You may know him from the band Kane Hodder. Go ahead and say hello there again, Andrew.
Hello.
There you are. There you are, my friend.
Hail to the king, baby.
Thank you so much for coming out.
Thank you for having me.
I've got an issue with with windshield wipers, my friends. And maybe if you have a fix for this, you can email me at aaron@air-raid.net. Because I changed my windshield wipers the other day, and they just about took off half my fucking finger.
It's gonna hurt a lot
when I tried to do that. I don't understand it, because now they have these like nice new ones. You know, they got the little clip on it and everything that you can like, you know, you just pull it back and stuff. And they say, oh, it's the easiest thing to do in the world. It's like butter, right? No, but it's not at all, because the thing gets like locked on there. You can't get it off, and then you're just like, you see. I don't know if this happens to everybody else, but I get pissed off really easily.
No, Kelly Clarkson!
Do you?
I try and say
you're
as calm as possible.
You're pissing me off right now. You're
all
pissing
me off right
now. I will eat your babies, bitch!
Don't piss me off, Andrew. All
right.
Dang it. No, but so you start just like wrenching on this little clip thing, and it won't come off until finally it snaps open, and your finger's like caught in the little thing, and it just like tears the skin off your knuckle.
I actually have a solution for this.
What's that?
I take my car to a professional.
For windshield wipers, though. That's my point. Like, you shouldn't have to do that. You shouldn't have to go the lengths of, like, paying a professional to change your windshield wipers, right?
I do it at the oil change.
Yeah, I like this idea.
That's true. Yeah. I do that, too, sometimes. But, like, sometimes I'm just like, they're probably charging me, like, you know, $15 to do this, you know, on the car, right?
However, there is something to be said about the cost of, you know, not cutting your hand open.
Well, that's true. And the cost of, like, you know, being pissed
frustration.
Off. yeah, totally. Well, okay, maybe I don't need your emails on that. But I do still think that we need to, like, maybe start a government commission, because, you know, the government is just loaded right now, and with time and money. That was terrible. That was a terrible joke. So I don't know what you guys have done this weekend, but I have been having just a fantastic weekend. Last night we went and saw the Legendary Oaks CD release show at the High Dive here in Seattle in the Fremont neighborhood. They played an excellent show, and I would urge anybody out there that the next time that they're playing, and I think they've got a show coming up like on, I can't remember. I think it might be like the 22nd of February, but I'm probably wrong.
It's good to spread misinformation.
Right. I'm so not a raper.
But that's not a problem, because, Andrew, you're our only listener. So,
all right.
So, yeah, it works out. But excellent show. Anybody out there, you guys, if you have a chance, go see these guys live. And now you can get their CD. I think it's available online and probably on iTunes soon. Also, last night I had a very important meeting with some other podcasters around the Seattle area. Ben from Grapes of Rad was there. Thunder from Stack of Dimes. Jeremy from Sibling Rivalry and Sean DeTore from The Mixtape were all included on this meeting. And some very important, cool stuff is going down that we cannot talk about yet, because who knows if it'll actually happen. But I'm very excited about it, and we'll keep keep all of you up to date on that. But yeah, let's get to Andrew here. He's sitting here. He's chewing his fingernails because he's bored out of his mind.
It's a Andrew nervous Moore. Habit. I'm really nervous.
Are you really?
No.
You've been on the radio before. Come on. You're not. I heard you. I heard. Let's see. I think it was right before kind of Kane Hodder disbanded. Like, you guys were brought on to, was it Audio Oasis or something? It was KXP, and you were there with like Hannah Levine or somebody doing a show.
Before Kane Hodder broke, the new lineup and the old lineup were on the Young and the Locals Only on the end with Megan Sealing.
Oh, okay, maybe that was it. That was it. I got it. Okay, now I'm privy to the truth. And yeah, you guys, you know, you went through and chose some songs to play and stuff.
Yeah, it was all, I believe, with the exception of maybe one or two bands, it was all songs by bands who we had come up with.
Oh, really?
At the same time. So
cool.
Blue Sky Mile and Problem with Heroes and other bands.
Yeah.
The Catch.
Bugs and Amber.
I don't know if we played any Bugs and Amber.
No Bugs and Amber?
We played some Harvey Danger some Botch, obviously. That was the band that we never played with.
Right.
I think we played some Roy and...
And you guys were on the... You guys were on Fueled by Ramen, right? You shared a label with Roy.
Yeah.
And Blue Sky Mile. They were on the same...
No, year. Blue Sky Mile was on... not that label.
Oh.
I can't remember the name of the label, but it wasn't on that.
See, now maybe you, sir, are spreading misinformation.
I am not spreading misinformation. They were on a label. I think they were also from the South. But see, I think where the confusion comes from is I think Roy put out an EP on the same label.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's probably it.
The full length Big City Sin came out on Fueled by Ramen.
Right. Okay. You just schooled me, sir. Yeah.
I know my stuff.
Good show. Hey, so by the way, you are a new father.
Correct.
Right? Of a beautiful little girl named Jubilee.
Yep.
Right? Now, is that named after the X-Men character? Please tell me it is.
It partly is.
Yeah.
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 So, yeah.
Cuz you're a big comic book guy.
Oh, I'm huge comic book.
I remember when did we first meet?
I think I was a junior in high school and you were a sophomore.
Right, because we took that class twice, right?
Right. We were in journalism two years in a row.
Okay, okay. Yeah. And it was journalism, and then we took, didn't we?
Media
take,
production.
Like, was it media production or just like VizCom or whatever?
Well, there was, yeah, we took visual communications, and then media production was the like graphic design portion of the newspaper.
Right.
So we like journalism was the actual writing of the stories, and then media production was the pictures and the layout. And I think we were in those classes. So it was Mrs. Davies was the journalism teacher,
right,
and Miss Robin Ahrens was
the media picture. Production. Right. Oh man, I did not like her. Do you remember that? So this one day, like, I don't think she didn't like me either.
Miss Auburn Aaron.
Yeah. And maybe we'll have to bleep out her name, but I don't know. But
yeah, maybe.
but I remember one day, I think you were there. I'm pretty sure you were. But like, I just got so pissed off because I had my hand up, you know. I hated doing that, you know. High school, grade school, junior high, all that sucked because you always had to have your hand in the air to ask a question. And I had my hand up. I remember we were doing... we were using the computers to it was like Photoshop. I think we were using like Photoshop.
We were using
one
of the early Photoshop versions.
Yeah, to alter the photos and stuff and make crazy stuff.
It was really basic.
And it worked terribly.
Yeah.
I remember that. Like it was
I don't
not
remember if it, I don't remember if it just worked terribly or if we just sucked because we were in high school
and we didn't pay attention very much. Yeah. That's probably partly it. But I just remember having my hand up and she passed over me like four times to like help other people that, you know, had not had their hand up as long as I did. And so I was like, I said something to the effect of like, hey, I have my hand up first here. Can I get some help, please? And she said, you just wait your turn, Aaron. Like something very condescending, because I was kind of a loud mouth. You remember that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember a moment in journalism class. I don't know what we were doing, but there was this chaos in the class. And you had got, I don't know if I can explain this, like,
so am I gonna? Am
people
I just,
can
God.
Hear, but you were like, you had a chair, and there was like, it was one of those chairs where it was like the plastic seat and then the metal
right,
legs,
right,
and
yeah,
the plastic seat was only attached on the front, so it kind of like came off of the butt area, and
oh,
you
right.
had like put the back of the chair on the ground, and then you were like sitting on it, and then you grabbed the feet, and you were like moving. You were dragging yourself around with this
oh
chair.
God.
And I remember you were like, hey, Mrs. Davies, look at this. And she was so pissed. And you know what? I talked to her.
Oh, no.
I talked to her a few years after we graduated. And
right.
I remember she told me that I was a horrible senior. Like, I was so lazy. I got that, like, whatever they call it, senioritis.
Senioritis,
I got it
right?
So bad. Yeah. And she told me that she really had to look deep within herself to give me a passing grade for that class.
I can't even imagine what she would say to me then if I went back to her. I kind of remember that. But the one that sticks out in my mind a lot is that instant where in the media production class with the other teacher.
Okay, yeah.
I had my hand up,
okay,
and she said that thing to me, right? And I go, you're just a fucking bitch. And I got up and I walked out of the class. I stormed out of the class. I grabbed all my stuff and I went straight to the principal's office because I knew that, you know, I was going to get in trouble anyway, right? So I just went straight to the principal's office and talked to the counselor. I told the counselor everything, and I think I got like 4 hours of detention for that on a Saturday.
Not too bad.
Not too bad. I kind of skated by. I think I saved my own ass by going straight to the principal's office. Yeah. But yeah, I kind of butt heads with that woman quite a bit.
Yeah, I do remember that.
Were you in the class when I called her
that class.
I don't
particularly remember that. I spent a lot of time in the dark room.
Right,
like,
right.
Because they had, like, the stations where you could develop all the photos. And then there was, like, these cubbies underneath that. And
right,
I would crawl under there and listen to my Walkman.
Are you serious? You just sit in there?
Because it was
like
pitch black in there. It just had the red lights.
Right.
And so I would just sit in there and, like, listen to my Walkman. So,
we were terrible.
Yeah, I can't.
I think
imagine
at one point
why.
they had to separate me and you too.
Yeah, I think so.
That was the same class too. There was this kid that started. He was younger than both of us, so he must have been freshman or.
Yeah, no, they weren't freshmen.
They weren't freshmen, right? Okay, sophomore.
Yeah.
Right. I think his name was Joe, and I sold him. He was looking to buy some E, and so I sold him a bunch of Excedrin. And I felt so bad that I, like, came back and I gave him his money back. And I was like, dude, I'm sorry.
Wow. I have never heard that story.
Yeah, that was bad. That was bad. I was not a good child. I was not a good person at all by any stretch of the imagination. But at least I gave his money back, right?
I stole a kid's magic cards.
I remember that.
And well, actually, I didn't steal them. This girl named Christy or something stole them.
Uh-huh.
And then she gave them to me to I don't know why.
She knew you were a nerd.
And so, well, no, it was to like, hey, I walked the line between nerd and cool. I wasn't like
You did. You
I
were,
wasn't like full on
You
nerd.
Were in a band and all sorts of stuff.
But I
yeah.
read comics as,
yeah, right,
you know.
Right.
But she gave them to me, and I remember the next day, she must have cracked and told him that I had him because he came crying to me.
Oh,
and,
no.
And, like, keep in mind, this is a high schooler. He's, like, 16. And
right. Well, he was playing magic, though.
And,
so.
Yeah, and he's, explains he's crying, a little bit, right? And that, you know, like, does he hit, you know, I heard you have my cards. You know, and so, you know, I gave him to him. No. Because I what was I going to do with him?
Right, right.
But, yeah, boy, what a dick.
I know, you always kind of look back on these memories, too, and you're like, man, like, you still get, do you still get embarrassed? Like, when you think about stuff like that?
Asshole in high school. And, like, I was, okay, let me back up. I was a nice guy, and I generally got along with most people.
Right.
But I was a fucking dick about, I thought I was cooler than I was,
right,
because
right,
I listened
yeah.
to indie rock and punk rock. And so I would like look down on people who listened to like mainstream music, and uh-huh, like uh-huh. I was a fucking bastard. And I don't know if I can even apologize or atone enough.
Right, right.
For like, yeah. For like, I dated a girl in high school who was like really into the Smashing Pumpkins, and I gave her so much shit like the whole time.
That wasn't Allie, was it?
It was Allie.
It was Allie? Oh, no.
I was going to, you know, not name names, but it was Allie. And I look back on it now, it's like, what was the point of that?
Right, right.
Like, yeah. What was I trying to accomplish by ridiculing her love for a particular band, you know? Like,
right, right.
Like, oh my God, what an ass.
Yeah, I did a lot of stuff like that, too, and I attribute some of it. I used to use my drug addiction as a crutch to say that's why I was an asshole. No, it really wasn't just the drug addiction. I was an asshole. And like, you know, I still catch myself sometimes, like I think back on these times too, and I'm just like, I'll be by myself and I'm just thinking about something that I did, and like right. my face will get beet red and I will be so embarrassed. Like, just thinking back on some of the shit that I pulled, you know? And, like, does that ever happen to you? Do you ever get, like, embarrassed about it? Like,
yeah.
Is that a normal thing? Help me out here.
I think it's normal to be... okay, let me give an example of that.
Okay, okay.
So, I'm sure you've seen on the internet the reviews of the Star Wars prequels by Mr. Plinkett. Okay. They are hour-long... They're hour-long reviews of the Star Wars prequels, completely ripping them apart from a very academic level, looking at just really taking every single aspect of them and basically showing the shortcomings and like how it could have been better and all this stuff. They're genius. They're like Red Letter Cinema or Red Letter Media or something.
Oh, I've heard about that.
Mr. Plinkett. The reviews are like an hour long each.
And so it's video or something?
It's video. Okay. And so so Eric from Kane Hodder and I were talking about it, and we were apologists for the Star Wars prequels.
Oh, I totally was too.
And so, yeah. Like...
I remember when that came out, you and I were just going ape shit in school about
and
it.
And so... And I was such a bastard about, you know, when people didn't like it. I would try and defend it, and I just made so much excuses, like, oh, well, the reason why this is because of this, and blah, 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 and you just don't understand. And
right. Well, it felt personal, right?
Because
we loved it so much. Like,
well, and I think it's because I had invested so much time being a fan. God, this sounds so pathetic.
No, it doesn't at all. To everybody else, but not to us.
And like that I felt that like because I had invested so much devotion that I had to like it, even if it sucked. And
right,
so,
right.
And I think in the back of my mind, I knew that they sucked. But so Eric and I were talking about this recently, and it was just like, I don't know if we... Again, like if we could ever apologize enough or atone enough for the excuses we made for those movies.
Right,
and I
right.
think of how embarrassing it is to have spent so much time and money
on that stuff.
You know? And I get so embarrassed. And I mean, I don't know. like, I feel like I should make this public apology that, like,
do it now. Do it now.
Like,
why
I
not?
Just, I am sorry. I am sorry. I wasted my time. I wasted other people's time.
Yeah.
On those.
I'm sorry. I'm laughing.
Those, on just, those movies, yeah, yeah. You know, like.
Yeah.
And so I know that just from Eric and I's conversations, we totally think back on stuff that we just totally get embarrassed about, you know?
Like, right.
Oh my
right.
God, how stupid was that? And I mean, that's a very minor kind of stupid thing,
yeah,
but there,
yeah.
I mean, there's definitely other things where we think, oh my God, I can't believe we're not in jail.
Right. Oh or, yeah, totally. You know, totally. Like, well, one thing that I remember, especially, you know, in the same vein as the Star Wars thing, I invested because I was a lifeguard my junior and senior year in high school.
Right.
And worked at the pool. And I would spend, like, all my hard-earned money on Star Wars figures when they came back out. When Kenner started making
right.
the newer
yeah.
Star Wars figures.
Yeah.
And I would go to Toys R Us every paycheck and get, like, two more figures. Just for the... Just to look at them and, like,
yeah.
hang them on my wall. I had, like, four Boba Fetts. It was awesome. But I still do, actually, by the way. But, no, I always think back to that time, and it's just like, I invested so much money into these things because they were $7 a pop, right?
Right.
And
the thing about them was, is they were no longer collector's items because they were mass produced.
Right, right. But they're so cool to look at.
Yeah, I know. It's yeah. I think about, like, the time that I was really collecting comics was, like, early to late night, like 91 to like 98. I was like
right,
really
right.
into, like, I bought a lot of comics.
Yeah.
And it's funny because even the, like, really well-known comics from that time really aren't worth a whole lot of money because
no.
they were mass produced.
Right.
And we
right.
were talking about that.
Well, especially even the, like, the Superman, like, Doomsday series,
oh, yeah.
where Superman was, you know, the last days of Superman. Like, those are worth nothing.
Yeah. And we were talking about, I was talking about with Eric about, Eric and I
here.
Talk about this stuff a lot, like baseball cards, like,
right,
like
right.
1987 to 1991, it was like the mm-hmm. heyday of baseball card collecting, and baseball cards from that time were worth shit.
Right.
Because
right.
they printed so much.
Yeah. But you know what is worth a lot of money? Garbage Pail Kids.
Oh, yeah. And so there's a guy in my building who just got a bunch of his stuff, childhood stuff from his parents, and one of the things that he got was all his Garbage Pail Kids, and he gave them to me.
No way!
Yeah, I'm
oh my
stoked.
God.
My
oh
wife
my God.
Is kind of like, I don't really want these in the house.
They are kind of gross.
They're totally gross.
Yeah, yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah. So let's turn the conversation back to being a father,
yeah.
being a new father.
Well, that was a big sidetrack.
No kidding. We veered left, far left on that one. So like I was saying, when we started this conversation, 20 minutes ago, you have a little girl named Jubilee. Oh, and that's how we got sidetracked because
right.
I asked you.
It's partly named after the comic book
okay.
character.
In X-Men, right?
Yes.
So one thing.
Who's a character that I know a lot of people don't like, but for some reason,
she shoots bubbles of light, dude.
She is about the same age as I was when I really got into comics. And
right,
somehow
right.
I just, like, always connected with her. Like, I thought that, I mean, yeah, she wasn't very powerful, but just as, like, a vulnerable, I'm probably looking way too into the character, but just as, like, a vulnerable teenager.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I thought, and her relationship with Logan, like, I really, it, like, really resonated with me.
Right, right.
But anyway, back to real Jubilee.
Real
whoever.
Jubilee, yeah. A beautiful little girl that you and your wife adopted, right?
Correct.
Yeah. And so how old is she now?
She is almost 15 months.
15 months, okay. And you guys got her as a newborn, is
she
that
was,
right?
She was 16 days old.
Oh, really? Wow, wow. Yeah. So what was that like when you first had this, like, little human that you were now taking care of?
Well, it was weird because...
Were you prepared for it? Because this is what I'm freaked out about.
Well, there's obviously a lot of differences between adopting and, like, having a biological child. But one of the things for me was, like, I didn't have a pregnant partner for 9 months constantly like, yep, that's inevitable right there.
Right,
you know?
Right.
And so when
but,
we,
I mean, this had to be like a long thought-out decision.
Well, yeah,
too,
it's
right?
not like you can wake up one day and be like, oh, man, I just adopted a baby. Like, yeah. You know? I mean,
all of a sudden you wake up and
yeah, like,
there.
Oh, shit. We had it was like a year and a half, maybe long process, and they really make you jump through a lot of hoops.
You have
to get like a full FBI criminal background check. You have to have a sexual predator history background check.
Did they come back? Did the FBI like come back to you and be like, we heard you were an asshole in high school?
Yeah, right. And so you have to write all these biological statements about yourself. And they ask pretty questions about like, what aspects of like how you were parented as a child do you like, and like what parts did you not like, and what parts do you plan to utilize, and then they make you go to all these classes because our daughter is not the same color as us, so they have these classes on, you know, transracial parenting and
really
being prepared for like certain things that'll likely come up, you know, because not, you know, and I've experienced it, like, some people just don't like the fact that I have a black baby. Don't like it.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought we were kind of, especially in Seattle, like, I thought we were
kind of
past
and it's,
that,
and,
but I
and,
guess not, huh?
And there's interesting things, like, white people tend to be a lot more rude than
are you serious?
Black people.
Really?
And they don't know they're being rude. And and like it's just like, but since she's black, one of the questions they always ask is like, was she healthy? Which to me means like they automatically think like mom's a drug user, a crack baby or something.
Mom's
a crack user or a prostitute or something like that. And it's just like, or they say like, where'd you get her? And like, I just think
found her in a dumpster behind my apartment.
It's just like, who are you? You know, like you wouldn't come up to a pregnant lady and be like, so like, what are the details of the conception? You know?
So is this like, just, this is just somebody like a random person
on the street,
people that
like,
are saying that kind of
stuff.
Yeah.
And so.
That's so strange to me. Why would people do that? I don't get it.
So from the African-American community, there's kind of a different vibe. I've had a few people to say like, you take care of that girl now, you know, like, you know, kind of like
right.
But then there's also a big thing about hair.
Uh huh.
Like African American hair is, for one thing, completely different than ours.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And
well, it's way different than mine because I'm losing all of it.
And so, for instance, Jubilee has to keep her hair like moisturized. Like, it's like twice a day. This whole routine.
Oh really?
Just to keep it, and we try and use like all natural products from this hair salon that we found in our neighborhood.
Right,
like,
right.
No chemicals or anything like that. But there's this kind of like, you know, we get comments on her hair a lot.
You know,
white people, like, you better learn how to do her hair good, you know, because it's not the same at all. And so there's like kind of two different schools of thought, it seems like. It seems like there's one group that's like, oh, you just need to let it be natural. And then there's another group that's like, you need to really work with it and do stuff with it. And so
that's so strange that would be like somebody's main concern for you.
You know,
too.
It's a big deal, though. Hair is a big deal because they're constantly being told that their hair is not as good. And so, like, there's this whole culture of, like, straightening the hair and chemical processing the hair. And
there was
this documentary that came out by Chris Rock called Good Hair.
Right.
And I did not see it, though. There's a scene where it talks about how, like, he goes to this wig maker and tries to sell his hair. And the wig maker won't take it because no one wants that kind of hair.
Okay.
And I guess the whole, like, catalyst for the movie was like his daughter came and said, you know, daddy, why don't I have good hair? And so, but anyway, I'm kind of getting sidetracked again.
No, not at all.
And
not
so, but anyway, it's this kind of like long process. And then we get this call, like, your baby was born a couple weeks ago and she's been in a care home because in Georgia where she was born, there's a 10-day waiting period where the mom can change her mind. So what usually happens is mom signs the papers at the hospital.
Right, right.
And then baby goes into a care home. And so our baby was in this home of this really sweet elderly couple who, I think it was their like 45th baby that they had taken care of.
Oh,
they basically
wow.
take care of the babies for like the couple of weeks in between, while in the transition period between like when the mom gives up custody and the adoptive parents take custody. And so they, by the time we got there, they had Jubilee like sleeping on her own, and I mean,
oh man,
yeah. So I was we were joking with them like, oh man, you should start a business where it's be like, just give us 10 days, you know, 14 days,
uh-huh, uh-huh.
You'll have your baby, you know, like completely trained,
right, right, or write a book or something.
But anyway,
yeah.
So we're driving from the airport in Atlanta to this town. I can't remember the name of it,
uh-huh.
North of Atlanta. And Alyssa's, we're having this moment where Alyssa's like, oh my gosh, this is like our last, like real moments, like where we're just a couple.
Right.
And,
right.
And all I could think of to say was, I've never changed a diaper before. I have no idea.
Oh, no.
I don't know what I'm doing.
So was it at that point that you just started to get like real nervous too?
I wasn't even nervous. It was just like, the thing I was nervous about is like, man, am I going to feel any connection at all?
Oh, right. Yeah.
Or am
yeah.
I just going to feel like I'm babysitting somebody's kid for a while? And, you know, when they opened the door and she was there, it was just like, my baby. And so.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. So.
That's pretty amazing, man.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
I don't know. And I mean, like we were talking earlier before the podcast, you know, it's like, it takes a while to get adjusted to, but after you get into a rhythm, it's really not that bad. There's definitely
right, right.
like some hellish nights.
Yeah. Is it anything like the show Parenthood, where now all of a sudden, like your sister comes over and she's always asking
sister.
You, yeah, it doesn't matter, but all of a sudden you do, and she's coming over and asking you advice at your place of work and things like that. And like
I think you guys all get along really well.
Well,
I think my wife would probably say that with her. It's not that me. Okay. My brother has a daughter as well.
Okay. Okay.
And, I wouldn't say that we're closer because of it. And he lives in Paulsbo still, and it's hard to like really get over there a lot of times.
Right.
And
right.
I don't
so
know.
So it's nothing like Parenthood.
I hope
you
not.
You told me when we went through the show sheet before the show, you told me that you hated
that fucking show. My wife loves that show.
I love it. I think it's great.
And she watches it. If I was going to say that if there's a family my family is more like, it's the Modern Family family.
Oh, okay.
Because
okay.
we are sarcastic and...
And your dad's married to a 20-year-old Venezuelan.
Right, yeah, totally. And actually, if there's... I don't know.
And you have a stepbrother named Manny.
But yeah. It's just like, I don't know, the Parenthood family is more of a... They got their problems, but it's this more like touchy-feely kind of thing. Whereas Modern Family is just like, so nothing is sacred.
Right, right.
Kind of vibe. I don't know.
I like that show, too.
That show. And I don't watch it as much as I should, I guess. I don't know. I have a hard time. I might as well get sidetracked again. I have a hard time dedicating myself to a show.
It's tough, man.
And so,
it's
and
tough.
I can't
because
really...
there's so many good shows out there, and everybody's always telling you, "Oh, you got to see this one."
I have a hard
see this
time
one.
Dedicating myself to multiple shows.
Right.
And so,
right.
I have a hard time dedicating myself to one show. For example, I waited until Lost was over to start watching it.
Yes,
and I think it's very addicting. However.
Oh, no.
However.
What are you going to say?
I have...
You don't like Parenthood? You don't like Lost?
I like Lost.
Oh, okay.
I think it's great.
Yeah.
I do think that the Losties get pretty annoying sometimes. Like, the people who are, like, obsessed with Lost.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, shut up.
Where they're always trying to, like, no, this is what's going on.
Yeah,
where they're
like,
figuring everything out.
I was like,
know?
I've been that guy before with other things.
Don't waste your time.
Trust me, it's annoying. But I've
Star
only
Wars
made it,
universe.
I've only made it like halfway through the fourth season because I get sidetracked. really easy.
Right, right.
And the last episode I watched was like a total cliffhanger. It was when Michael... Wait, have you watched the show?
Am I giving things away? No, there's no... Come on,
it's basically Michael comes back as Kevin Johnson in the fourth season.
Right, when they finally
reveal, like...
Yeah, yeah.
Like who the...
On the boat, right?
Who the informant on the boat is. Yeah, yeah. That's the last episode that I saw, and I was like, boy, I can't wait to see what happens next. That was like 2 months ago.
Right.
But I'm in school, and I'm working, and it's just like, I don't know, just...
Yeah.
It's hard to get back into it.
That was a good one. We're addicted right now to Dexter, and we
and I know that show rules. I just...
Have you seen that one?
I haven't watched any episodes.
Yeah, it's pretty good, and it's kind of the same deal. You know, we do the same thing. We wait until, like, everything's over, and then you can get it on DVD, because it's just pointless to, like, watch them at the time that they air.
Right.
Because then they just, like, The Walking Dead
was, like, the first show I had watched.
All the way through?
Like, as the episodes came out... I mean, and I haven't even seen the last couple episodes of Walking Dead yet.
I'll admit it. Yeah.
But that was just like, I mean, I hadn't done that since the last season of Battlestar Galactica.
Uh-huh.
And it was just painful. It was like, come on, let's watch the next episode
here. Right, right.
What the hell? can't they just make them all at once and just kind of rapid fire?
No,
it's
shit.
Like, where's the instant cassettes like in Spaceballs?
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Well, that's a good spot to go to our first musical break here, buddy.
Okay.
And you do this thing every year on your Facebook page where you pick out your top 100?
Top 25.
Top 25? Okay, top 25.
Records of the year. And
right.
Boy, this, you know, usually I like, you know, write like a little thing about each one. And this year I just posted the list and I haven't written anything about it, obviously, because... But the first one I think we're going to play is this guy, Jack Pato. He's from South Africa. It's like...
And he's kind of like that Zeph style, D'Antwoord and...
Yeah, the kind of like white trash, really lower class white people from South Africa. Like,
right, right.
Which there's not many of those kinds of people. But yeah, it's this kind of... I discovered him basically because of D'Antwoord. He's on a couple of their songs. So I looked him up, and this song, it's called "I Miss," and it's about all the stuff from the '80s
that he
loved. You know, he talks about Dino Riders. Holy crap! Yeah, Child's Play in front of the 13th,
nice.
And the A-Team.
Nice.
But this chorus is this genius mashup of Tweety Bird.
Oh my god!
From Looney Tunes,
uh-huh.
The Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles song, the theme song for He-Man, and the theme song for Ghostbusters, and
it's awesome. It's
like genius. It's incredible, and so
excellent. Well, let's take a listen to that, and we will be back in just a moment with Andrew Moore. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about his time in the band called Kane Hodder, which you may have heard of, and blah blah blah. We'll be back. In a moment. I miss those beef high full suit bikinis. I miss Mickey Mouse shirts and polka dot minis. I miss the original Indiana Jones merch. I miss the duck from fucking telephone quiz. I miss early morning cold food rugby. I miss KFC when it was still called Kentucky. I miss the days when I thought our movies were real. I miss my oma sitting reading Danielle Steele. I miss the first Child's Play in Jurassic Park. I miss Jake the Snake, Goldust and Owen Hart. I miss Ethan, Freddy and Jason Voorhees. I miss sneaking down to the TV and watching late night movies. Rugby park. I miss sleeping with the lights on cause I'm scared of the dark. I miss Leon Schuster when he was still taking the piss. I miss screaming province with my hand in a fist. I miss doing cut and paste projects for school. I miss Polly Otters and having bras by the pool. I miss Dino Riders, Brave Star and Bionic 6. I miss Cheers, Ardenu, Who's the Boss and Wings. I miss puzzles with my mom playing with Play-Doh. Tell me where in the world is Carmen Sandiego. I miss giving
I miss the dicing mob's culture, smoking and cruising. I miss the IT man, murder she wrote. I miss the days when I was still cock scared to smoke. I miss the days when special effects were handmade. When Francho Pino still played rugby and didn't eat lies. There's so much that I learned from the old ways. Another kid, fucking raised by the 80s. Katie, Katie, you was seen it, the mighty. I was raised by girls in outfits and koptoeken. Cold wool, like klaarwoordheid and cold voeten. Dallas, Tennessee, and achter elke man. Kringen in die bos en beladen vir enkeling. Voortrekker camps en CSV kampen. Mufasa, Aladdin, Bandy en Thumper. Kleiland, Swartkat en self-built treehouses. No shoes, no worries, play holes in my trousers. There's a lot of good things that happened back then, but I can't keep going on about way back when. So that's enough of that, no way, no how, cause I miss all the shit that I'm doing right now.
Alright, welcome back. We are back here with Mr. Andrew Moore, old friend of mine from high school, and ex-singer for Kane Hodder, and for better or for awesome, right?
Oh, yeah.
With your wife?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, yeah. I never saw you guys play.
We only ever played cover nights.
Oh, do you?
We never performed our original tunes live.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No shit.
Yeah. But
your wife Alyssa is a drummer, right?
She played drums in The Catch.
Right. Okay.
And we met through the band The Divorce.
Whoa.
Which is kind of a weird.
That's kind of a, yeah.
So
how ironic.
It's
like rain on your wedding day.
Yeah. Or 10,000 spoons when all you can find is a knife.
Right.
The only ironic thing about that song is there's nothing ironic about it.
I know. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like, no, that's not irony.
But the three-song, like, EP that For Better For Awesome did was actually originally meant as a... was like our wedding favor that we gave out at our wedding.
Oh, cool. And that's so, a pretty cool little gift. Yeah.
It's the bomb. Awesome. It was the bomb.
It's the bomb. Wasn't it called The Bomb, too?
No, it was called The Wedding EP.
Oh.
Very original.
Yeah. Apt. Apt, sir.
So...
So I wanted to talk just a little bit about, because when we left for the break, we heard this song, I Miss by Jack Perro. And all the, like when you said Dino Riders, it like.
Dude, that show.
Dude.
Was,
oh my
you
God.
You know, there was.
And there were so many shows like that I remember seeing. And like yesterday I woke up and I came out here, I flipped on the television and like. Like, there's really not many Saturday morning cartoons on anymore.
Well, and...
Is there?
See, no, and I don't think so. And the maybe this was unique to the 1980s, but every single one of those, like, action cartoons...
Right, right.
...was a device to sell toys.
Oh, yeah, totally.
And so,
totally.
Like, there's this story, and I don't know if it's true or not, but... Mm-hmm. That the Transformers movie in the 1980s, where like Optimus Prime dies in like the first 10 minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
That was basically meant to introduce the new toy line. So they decided.
By Kenner.
They killed off all the like old toy line. And like the first 15 minutes of that movie, like
right,
everybody
right.
dies.
Yeah.
And so the toy makers and the producers were shocked. When it like all there was all these traumatized kids because all these characters that
they loved
were
yeah,
like murdered
yeah. right
and
right.
so I don't know if that's true or not. I like to think that it's true, but
murdered in zero gravity
and,
no
yeah,
less
and like yeah. and like I think that's the reason why in the G.I. Joe movie why they didn't kill off Duke. Like at the beginning of the movie he gets wounded really bad,
right, right,
and then at the end it's like, oh, he's gonna make it, like,
yeah.
But you're kind of like think that he's dead the whole time.
And why they didn't let anybody get hurt in the He-Man movie, where they introduced She-Ra, by the way. Wasn't
right,
She-Ra
right.
introduced in that one?
I think she was.
Yeah. I remember going to that movie. My parents took me to the opening day of that movie in Bremerton. And they had like people dressed up as He-Man and She-Ra and like and Skeletor and stuff at the theater. Wow. Do you remember that theater? It was like just down the. It was like Wheaton Way or something like that. It was like right up the road from Skateland. It was a shithole.
Wait, is it the
it was
one
in that strip mall complex?
Yeah.
I think it's still there.
Like the east. I think it is still there.
Yeah.
It was a shithole.
Yeah,
it was totally a shithole.
Yeah. But I just remember like going to that and.
I saw Fantasia there in the 1980s when it was re-released in the 1980s.
Yeah, yeah.
And there was a poster, I remember, for 2010. The movie 2010 with John Lithgow. It's like the sequel to 2001. And it's
got this
baby floating through space. And for some reason, that poster like really freaked me out. I don't know.
And it messed you up for the rest of
your life. Yeah,
it
messed me up. But like there was this show in the 80s called The Centurions. And it was basically like there was a guy who was water.
Yeah.
It was water, land, and air.
Yes.
And
I had those dolls.
They basically had whole like little pegs all over them, and you could like assemble different weapon
That's
formations.
That's so funny,
on them.
Dude, because I was thinking of those just the other day because something sparked my memory about it because my friend Kelly stole all my Centurions. And like I went over to his house to play, and I didn't notice that they were gone, but then I get to his house and all my Centurions are spread out on his floor. I was like, wait a minute.
And then there was a show called The Silverhawks.
So yeah,
and that was
in
space, and there was like Copper Kid, and like
was that kind of like a Transformers ripoff or something like that?
Kind of. They were like these. I think they were like androids or like
dudes
who wear these like these bio suits, metal bio suits that could like make them fly through space. And then there was this cowboy guy who like flew him around and his guitar. Shot like lasers out of it.
I totally don't remember
Silverhawks. Look it up. And then there was another show, and I keep forgetting the name. Like I always look it up, and then I forget the name. But
Mask.
But I had the toys, but the whole basis of the show was that it was this commando group, and there was these three giant monsters that they were always. Going after, and it was like the Invincibles or the not the Invincibles or like the Eliminators, the Exterminators or something.
Right.
And,
I don't remember that one either.
And
was that on cable or something? Did you have cable?
I don't think so.
No?
But it was like it was this. They had the best toys. It was this badass commando outfit, and then one of the monsters was this like brown devil looking thing, and he would reach into his mouth and pull out like fireballs and throw them. And then another one was this basically this giant green swamp thing that had these tentacles. And then another one was this skeleton, and he would like trap people in his chest cavity. And it was best show. And the toys,
I gotta look that
like,
up,
the
man.
The monsters were
that's
literally
not ringing a bell.
Probably a good 2 feet high. The toys,
right.
They were incredible.
Yeah, that was kind of like the Centurions too, because they were like they were huge.
The dudes were tall.
Yeah.
So God, I. It's something along the lines of like the Eliminators, the Exterminators, or like it's like an E or an I, I think.
Right.
It's like what it starts with. And I had to go onto this like 80s show website and like look at all the different like 80s cartoons.
Right.
And
yeah.
Look it up because I couldn't remember the name of it. And there was another show called Dino Saucers, and it was these like dinosaurs from outer space.
Dude, you're pulling. Oh, wait. Did they have those were the guys with the like. They had like all the shielding and stuff and the missile launchers.
That was Dino Riders.
That was Dino Riders.
Dino Riders was like it was like this army outfit like cloned dinosaurs or something,
right.
They outfitted all the dinosaurs with like weaponry.
Right.
Dino Saucers were like dinosaurs like the dinosaurs evolved and left.
Oh, and then
like
they came
millions
back.
Millions of years ago, and they came back.
I remember that one.
Yeah.
Okay, I remember that one totally. What was the one? It was like, they were like, all the characters were like these weird tanks. And the toys were like,
I don't.
I remember one in particular. You could fill the head of it up with water and then press down. It was like a rubber head on it, and you could press down. It was squirt
I don't
water.
Remember that
I can't
one.
Remember. All the characters were these weird robotic tanks, though. It was strange.
That one I'm not recalling.
Mask was one of my favorites because the toys were like really small and intricate, and they had all the like the moving parts on their vehicles and stuff
right.
would like the guns that would pop out and stuff like that. Like I really enjoyed that.
And there was GoBots, which was the like Transformers ripoffs.
Yeah.
And then there was like Rock Lords, which Rock were like Lords. GoBots. It was like the GoBots went to this planet and it was like these it was the stupidest thing now that I think about it, but they like transformed into rocks.
What?
Yeah, and so there was like
No, I remember that because
the leader
yeah,
of the
yeah,
good
totally.
Guys was named yeah. Boulder. And there was this like this little guy named Nugget.
I think I remember
Nugget,
the commercial for
Nugget
that too, where you'd like
granite and
the guy would turn into a boulder and then he like rolled down this like
yeah,
sand cliff
so
and like
lame.
Hit all the other action figures.
Yeah. Boy, now just wow.
Well, boy, if that's not a step down memory lane, I don't know what is.
Yeah, right.
Let's step down another memory lane here. You were in a you were in a band called Kane Hodder for a little while. Well, you started out.
Correct.
How did you started playing music in high school, right?
Junior high,
Sorority House Rejects.
Before that.
Oh, really? Okay.
I was in bands from about when I was 12.
Okay. Were you always kind of the singer?
No, I started out as a drummer.
Really?
Yeah.
No kidding. I did not know that.
And then I moved because I couldn't afford to keep a drum set up. So
yeah,
I kind of transferred to the, you know, and I was thinking the other day, so on Facebook recently, a bunch of people have been posting old pictures like from like Sorority House era.
Yeah. I've been noticing those.
Well, and so there's like ones from like early Kane Hodder stuff. And then Erica uploaded a bunch from old Sorority House. And I still cannot believe that of all the names we could have chosen, we chose Sorority House Rejects. It's like, yeah, no wonder you're Sorority House Reject. You're a fucking guy, you fucking dipshit. What a stupid name.
I thought it was a great name. I still think it's a great name.
And then we dropped Rejects and we were just Sorority House.
Oh, okay. Well, wasn't there some problems with another band that was named the same thing or something like that?
No.
Oh.
We tried to name ourselves something else at one point, and there was already a band named that.
Oh, okay. Maybe that's where I got it from.
Yeah. So
Sorority House, and then you played in that band with Eric, right?
Eric joined that band probably a couple years into it.
Yeah,
and we broke up under kind of shitty circumstances.
Right.
And then we started Kane Hodder about a year after that.
Okay.
In fact, actually, Kane Hodder played their first show a year to the day after Sorority House played their last show.
Oh, really? Okay. And Kane Hodder, of course, is the name of the actor that played Freddy.
Jason Voorhees.
Yeah. Sorry. God, that was a nerd slip up right
there.
He's
the only person to do it more than once, and I think he did it, I want to say 6 through 10, but it might have been 7 through 10. Yeah, he did it.
Oh, really? He wasn't the first?
No.
Oh,
well, Jason wasn't even in the first one. I mean, he wasn't.
Well, he wasn't in the first one. He was in the second one, part two.
He was in
the
first one, but he wasn't the killer in the first one.
Right. His mom was.
Then he's in the second one, but he doesn't even have a hockey mask. In the second one, he's wearing a bag.
Sack. Yeah.
He's like
burlap
sack. The hillbilly Jason. And then he doesn't even get the hockey mask till like halfway through the third movie.
Right. Yeah.
The 3D one.
Oh, was that one 3D?
Yeah.
No way.
It's bad.
I bet. Like, I haven't seen the latest one yet. I really would like
The remake?
The remake,
basically, the first one. Yeah.
Oh, wait a minute. Maybe I did see it. No? Did they just remake it?
Like, maybe 2 years ago it came out.
Okay, because I saw the one where they go, it's like a bunch of really hot kids that go up to the lake, but
That's like everyone.
Well, I know. I mean, that's what I'm searching for right now, like trying to explain what's different about this one, but there isn't.
I just remember the
part where she's like skiing. She's like water skiing behind the boat, and she's just got these big fake boobs.
That's the remake?
Yeah. Okay. I thought there might have been like a later one, like they did with like Nightmare on Elm Street, which was terrible, by the way.
The last like new Friday the 13th was Jason X, the one in space.
Right, right.
And yeah. Which totally rules.
I know, I love that.
Unless
one.
You count Freddy versus Jason, but Kane Hodder yeah. wasn't Jason in that one.
Oh, okay, okay. But okay, so you guys kind of formed the new band, Kane Hodder, and started just playing around Seattle, Bremerton.
Mostly Bremerton, and then kind of moved to Tacoma, and then Seattle kind of... It moved fairly quick, I guess.
Yeah.
What really helped us was the fact that we had this huge following in Bremerton because
there wasn't much going on, right?
There wasn't a whole lot going on. I mean, there was a lot going on, just how do I say this nicely?
Choose your words.
There was only a handful of really awesome bands.
Okay, okay. Yeah.
And then a bunch of not so awesome bands.
Right, right.
And so the awesome bands, like Kane Hodder, I don't know, just had more of a following. And so, God, I'm going to sound like a total dick. I just thought about what I just said. It's like, what a
don't worry about
what
it.
An arrogant asshole.
Don't worry about it. But you've already apologized for all your
high
school
exploits.
But
when we started playing in Seattle, we would have these kids migrate over.
Right, right.
And so...
Well, even when you guys came over to, like, Ellensburg, I remember you guys played a show in Ellensburg, and at that point, I hadn't seen you for a really long time.
Yeah,
and I was
that's
like,
right.
Holy shit, dude!
Yeah.
And you had a bunch of people, like, that came over from Bremerton.
And people would basically follow us, like we were the Grateful Dead or something.
I thought it was way cool.
And so when we started playing Seattle, all these bands were like, who is this band? And like, why do they have all these people here? And not only were there a lot of people there, but all these kids were going like ape shit.
Right.
And so it just led to bigger and better things, and like Bumper Shoot a few years and Capitol Hill Block Party. And then we got signed and we got to do some little tours, and then we got signed to Fueled by Ramen, which was like a pretty big label at the time,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and did some tours on that. And then,
which album was that?
The Pleasure to Remain So Heartless.
Right.
And then things started kind of going downhill. Just, Fall Out Boy hit it really big.
Uh-huh.
And
they had been on Fueled by Ramen,
yeah, and I can never say for sure, but it just seemed like a lot of the more eclectic bands from Fueled by Ramen kind of got pushed to the wayside.
Right, they wanted something more along the
and
same
so,
lines or something like that.
Yeah,
or?
and then we likely made some bad business decisions, maybe just out of desperation, and then it like mm-hmm. kind of declined further, and then we lost two of the founding members, and then we got two new members, and we like continued on for like a good while longer. Went to Japan a couple times.
Right, right.
Put out an EP in Japan with, well, The Pleasure Remains So Heartless came out in Japan, and we toured on that in Japan. And then a year or 2 years later, we put out a split EP with a Japanese band.
Oh, cool.
Over there.
Nice.
So we went and toured on that.
So how long would you guys go over and tour in Japan?
We were there for like a week and a half.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Both times?
Yeah. I don't... like a week. So...
And how many places did you play?
The first time we only played in the Tokyo Chiba area.
Mm-hmm.
Like 3 or 4 shows. And then...
Good showing out there.
Oh,
too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Really?
We'll see. The first time, this is crazy. We only played in Tokyo, and so Japan is roughly the size of, I don't know, maybe California and Oregon together, maybe a little bigger than that. Not very big, but so we only played in Tokyo, but still, you know, there's like you can drive a 12-13 hour drive easy, and kids came from all over the country.
No shit.
To come see us. So we got, I remember we got to sound check. We got there early in the day. It was like maybe 2:00. And there were kids lined up with Kane Hodder posters. And
really?
Like wanted to get autographs and
oh
stuff.
Oh my God. What does that feel like?
It's
what
so
does that feel
weird.
Like?
It's so weird. You know, it's one thing to have it happen in the U.S.
Right, right. But then you go to a different country.
Going to a different country is so much weirder, you know? And then
Do you attribute that to the label? Was that all because of the label that picked you up over in Japan?
Well, the label who picked us up in Japan were marketing geniuses. I mean, we were in like every record store, every magazine.
Really?
I must have done 25 interviews over the phone with various magazines.
No shit.
And like every day, like our manager would call us up and be like, oh yeah, Andrew, be available this time because you're going to do another interview with this magazine in Japan.
Yeah.
And yeah. So...
Well, explain a little bit what that felt like, because, I mean, I'm always interested by that kind of stuff, because you know, being a musician, like, you work really hard at something and you feel like it's really good, you know, and you, especially being in a band too, you get that feeling, you know, when you guys write a song together,
right?
And just say you get that feeling like, oh, this, you know, this feels great. I want other people to hear this.
Okay, so,
but that's not necessarily how it happens.
No,
right?
So. We toured a lot through the United States, and we played in front of a lot of people, met a lot of cool kids, had a lot of fabulous experiences. Just, however, probably the most surreal experience of my life was playing in Japan, playing the song I Think Patrick Swayze Is Sexy.
Yeah, yeah.
Which has that breakdown where everybody, there's that kind of like cheerleader thing where it says K-I-S-S-O-R-K-I-L-L.
Yeah.
Kiss or Kill spelled out. And so we're playing, and we stop, and we get to that part, and this sold-out show in Chiba, Japan, which is, like, right outside of Tokyo, and the whole place is singing that song.
That's
like
amazing.
That part.
That is so cool.
And I remember everybody, we almost didn't go back into the song on time.
Because
we were just taken aback, totally dumbfounded. And like, I still, man. I have that album, or I have that show recorded. It was
really?
Recorded live.
Yeah.
And it's just crazy, you know?
Yeah.
And we, yeah. And so I remember there's like a bunch of people watching us sound check. And so we did like two songs, and it was like, okay, everything sounds good. And they like wanted us to play more. Like I got the impression that like the owner of the club had like let people come in to like watch a sound check, and it was like a special thing. So we were like, okay, you know, and
yeah.
Well, and then they wanted us to play for like an hour and a half, which Kane Hodder usually plays like 30-minute sets, and we just play as hard as we can for those 30 minutes.
Yeah,
like,
and you guys are all. I mean, I got to say that was like one of the most energetic bands. The first time I had seen a band like just jumping around so much on stage, like I had never seen a band do that before I saw you guys, and it was pretty impressive.
And so we're like, okay, and Aaron and Jeremy, who were playing bass and guitar, had joined the band not 3 months prior to that.
Right, yeah.
And so their knowledge of some of the library was pretty limited, you know, and so. What we did was, everybody in Japan, it seemed like, loves Nirvana. Loves them. It is not a taboo to like Nirvana. And so we sat backstage and learned 3 or 4 Nirvana songs and played them.
Nice.
Played Nirvana.
Nice. Which ones? Come As You Are, right?
The two that I can think of is we played Breed.
Oh, nice.
And Tourette's.
Okay.
I want to say we played a couple other ones, but
like Heart Shaped Box or something.
Maybe
like
not.
That.
Maybe we only played 2. I don't know, but that was pretty weird too.
Well, that's really cool. So, I mean, you always look back on that. Do you ever look back on it like, boy, I wish it went further, or are you glad it kind of ended,
you know,
where it did?
Sometimes I think like when we decided to call it quits, we were for the few years prior, I just had the worst case of writer's block. Just like nothing was working, and I felt like because all the press for Pleasure to Remain So Heartless was just like about how unique it was and how it was this like kind of grand step, and I had it in my mind that I had to top that, And so mm-hmm. I went into this kind of writing funk. And then, so probably the last 8 months that we were a band, I threw all that crap out the window and just wrote simple Kane Hodder songs.
Uh-huh.
And they're like the best things we ever wrote.
Nice.
And we recorded 4 of those songs in Japan and never released them at all.
Oh, really?
Like, they were recorded in a day in a studio in Japan. And the one thing that I wish we could go back and do someday is record those like 10 songs.
Uh-huh. Are some of them like, cause you said you have 3 of them done. Are they all mastered and everything?
Yeah.
Nice.
And like, and then the other songs are all like recorded really shitty, like 4-track recordings, no vocals.
Right.
And then there was one song that I was in the process of writing that I still have. And it's just like, I would love to do that again.
Yeah.
Like, I would love to just be able to do that. And just for posterity's sake.
Posterity?
Yeah, something
that's
like that.
Yeah.
But who cares? Other than that, you know, I think like, oh man, if we would have kept, you know, if I just like knew what direction I wanted to go like 3 years ago, like mm-hmm. maybe we wouldn't be in this position. Or maybe if we would have been little better about like disciplining ourselves to write songs. Because after we recorded The Pleasure Remains So Heartless, I was just like, I don't want to write songs right now.
Right.
I just want to play.
Yeah.
And that laziness kind of went a little too long.
Right. And well, don't you think we did a recent episode with a guy who will forever be known as Sal, who does a speakeasy, and he was saying, you know, with the buildings that are on his property that they use as a speakeasy, like uh-huh. he wants it to end someday like that. Yeah. And I thought that was a really profound statement. Like,
right.
And we were kind of talking about it. It's like, you know, these things have to end sometime for them to remain like a good memory. Right.
Right. No. And one of the things was between the time that we toured Japan last and the time mm-hmm. we played our last show, like, we didn't really talk to each other a whole lot.
Right.
And because there was a couple bad things that happened, and it was like, let's just do this before we hate each other.
Right. Kind of thing. Yeah, totally.
And it was pretty much over. Mm-hmm. You know, like, we did a tour through the U.S., like, kind of the mountain states. Wyoming and Colorado and Utah and Oregon and Idaho. And it was a few months before we toured Japan. And I remember it was just shitty shows, you know, maybe to 10, 15, 20 people, which in my youth I would have been stoked about.
Right.
You know, I just
would
have been at, but I was just older. And I remember we were driving somewhere between Utah and Colorado, maybe. Uh-huh. And it was just late. It was 2 a.m. and I'm driving and I'm just thinking, this is not worth it to me anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
To work this hard for so little payoff.
Right.
And now it's like, I'm so happy with where I am. And the other guys are in this, Aaron and Eric and Jeremy are in this band called Grenades, and they're like so badass.
Yeah, I got to check that out. You were saying that a little bit earlier.
And then Jeremy White, who's one of the original guitar players, is in another band, is like just great. And like Nick had been in 3 Inches of Blood after Kane Hodder for a while. And then like, you know, he's got this new band called Curse of the North, which I haven't heard yet that I want to hear.
Right.
You know, and it's just like everybody's doing kind of their own thing, and it's awesome.
Right.
And so
and are you guys kind of like came back together and
so like
better friends now and everything?
Like the other night there was this dude party at Eric's house where we cooked a bunch of meat and watched 80s action movies, and like Aaron was there and Eric and Nick and Jeremy and like a bunch of other people, and it was
please tell me you watched like Gymkata.
We watched Bloodsport.
Nice.
This is when I was there. I had to leave a little early because I had to work the next day.
Right.
We watched Bloodsport, RoboCop, and Big Trouble in Little China.
Nice.
And I made this dish called Vegan's Bane.
I can only imagine.
And it's spiced hamburger wrapped in flank steak, wrapped in bacon, covered in cheese.
Oh my God, that sounds so good.
It was so good. But like when I was making it, I could feel my arteries just protesting.
Right, right. That's great. One more thing about food. You always are posting these like cupcake pictures.
Right. I haven't made any in a while, but
you were kind of on this like baking kick for
a
little
while.
And like baking like lungs and hamburgers and
right.
All sorts of weird stuff.
Yeah. Like see, I'm more into like so my friend Megan Sealing has this website called Bacon in a Cake.
Where
she bakes things into a cake,
right,
and it's
right.
like really taking off. She was on like Martha Stewart Radio last week.
Are you
week.
Serious?
Yeah, serious.
Oh, no shit.
And
that was in The Stranger, right? Wasn't she?
Right, right.
Does she still work for The Stranger?
Yeah, she does.
Okay.
And so, like her thing is to like bake things into cupcakes, like pumpkin cheesecakes.
Yeah.
My thing was kind of more just like baking like a basic cupcake with a basic like buttercream frosting just
right.
in the shape of something
in the shape of a hamburger or lungs
or you know something like that and she's really like taking it to a level that I wasn't really want to do.
She should do some like classes or something,
but
like
she's always been an I remember a few years ago she had this like Martha Stewart holiday cookie cookbook and it had like 110 cookie recipes.
Oh my God.
And it was in October, I think. And I was like, I will give you money if you can make all 110 cookies by the end of the year.
Really?
She
did it?
She came close.
Okay.
But I feel like I reaped the rewards.
Because you
like,
got to test it.
Like every week, it was everything. Just like new cookies.
That's awesome.
So
that's rad. Well, Andrew Moore, thank you so much for coming on, man. This has been a huge pleasure to talk to you again.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to be asked to do it.
Yeah, of course. And you are going to be joining us for the Emerald City Comic Con.
Yeah.
Maybe not for the whole 3 days, but we'll get some reports back from you.
Yeah.
There's going to be some really cool people there this year, including William the Shat Shatner. And... I think our last episode, I mistakenly said William Patrick Flannery, but his name is
Sean Patrick Flannery.
Huge, huge mistake. Oh, my God.
Brent Spiner.
A bunch of really cool artists.
Oh, God, the guy from Tron. Bruce Boxleitner.
What?
Like from the original Tron.
Bruce, who was what character was he?
He was, have you seen the new movie?
No, I haven't.
Well, Bruce Boxleitner. He's the other guy that helps him out and stuff. Yeah, and in this movie, he's in the new one, and he like gives Sam Flynn's son like all the information about where Flynn is.
Okay. Was it a good movie? Did you like it?
I haven't seen Tron Legacy.
Oh, you haven't? Oh, okay. You've only seen like previews and stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, another movie I wanted to talk to you about is Rubber.
Right.
Is that real?
I you know, there's some debate because it comes out on April 1st.
Oh.
But supposedly...
Dude, it's got to be fake.
Supposedly
it
screened at Sundance.
Really?
Yeah. So there's three movies coming out that I'm really interested in. One is Rubber, which is basically about a tire that kills, like, makes people's heads explode. Looks amazing. Look it up.
Yeah, you've got to see this thing.
Finnish film, I think, called Rare Exports. And
Yes.
It's about like Santa Claus had been like a child murderer and the Finnish government like buried him in these caves above the Arctic Circle. And then like he gets let loose by this American mining company. And like it just sounds so.
Dude,
I
remember you sent me that video and I watched it. I was like, oh, my God, that looks so
good. And then
there's
another one called Troll Hunter from Norway. And it's like Blair Witch style. It's like a mockumentary, documentary style. But it's like about these people who go and hunt trolls and seriously watch the Troll Hunter full length trailer.
I'm gonna check that one out too.
I mean, and it's like all these trolls are attacking them,
and it doesn't look anything like Troll 2, does it?
No.
Okay.
But there's this interesting aspect of it where in the Norwegian troll legends, like the trolls always say, like, "I smell the blood of Christian men."
Right.
And so, like they go to all these villages in the movie where like nobody's Christian. They're all atheists to ward the trolls off. And I was like, I don't know if they're doing it as like a political statement or if it's just this like funny thing.
Yeah.
So because at the end of the trailer, they're like recruiting people and they like show this woman who's like a Muslim who wants to like join them. And they're like, is Muslim okay? I'm like, no one knows if like Muslim's okay. Like if the trolls are going to be able to smell. Like
right. Yeah. That sounds pretty cool. Have you seen the trailer for Kevin Smith's new venture, which is a horror movie, Red State? It looks pretty good. John Goodman's in it.
Yeah. I'm stoked on it. He's been talking about it for years.
Right. Well, apparently he's had the script for a long time.
Yeah, and so he's going to like auction the rights off, I guess.
Oh, really?
Because he can't get anybody to distribute it.
Right. Because they're so afraid of like it just not being
cool.
Good.
It's based on the Westboro Baptist Church.
Is it really?
The like God hates fags people. Right, that's who it's based on. It's based off Fred Phelps. Yeah.
Nice. So, well, I hope that comes out soon. I think they're doing like screenings soon though.
Yeah.
Aren't they? Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's what I heard on his Twitter feed.
Right. That thing is.
Yeah. That's, yeah. Well, Andrew, thank you so much again. And I can't wait to talk to you again in March when Comic-Con rolls around. And of course, you guys, thank you so much for listening. And we've got some really great shows coming up for February. I can't kind of divulge who's coming yet. Because it's not set in stone, but I'm super excited about it. Hope that it happens. And we'll let you know when we get final word on that one. Of course, you can find us at air-raid.net at our website. Please check it out, and you can stream our episodes from our website. Leave your comments and emails to aaron@airraid.net. Also, find us on iTunes and Zune and Stitcher, which is a great app for your smartphones, and soon another place, which also we can't talk about, and hopefully we can soon. And there's a bunch of secrets going on right now.
Yeah.
Don't you love it?
I love it.
Secrecy. It's wonderful. Okay. Well, we're going to go out with another song off of Andrew's Top 25 albums of the year. This is the Living Sisters and How Are You Doing? And what number did this make on your list?
Well, I don't like rank them.
Oh, okay. It's just
I usually will say like this one is my favorite and all the other ones are like kind of like I would say this one's top 10 maybe. I don't know. It's more mellow, kind of
wonderful,
kind of chill vibe. So
all right. Well, here's the Living Sisters. This is How Are You Doing? Andrew Moore.
Thank you.
See you next time.
Yeah.
And everybody else, have a great week.